powerful letter. A letter to the owner of a slave. A slave who had escaped his master. In the process, stealing from his master. Now in a distant city, imprisoned in the same cell as another prisoner by the name of Paul. Paul, who in this letter clearly shifts, freely chooses to see his own imprisonment in different terms. Instead of being prisoner of some authorities somewhere in some town, he states at the very beginning of the letter and elsewhere that he is a prisoner of Christ Jesus. An interesting twist. That slave's name, Onesimus. Onesimus, the word, literally means useful, which for a slave might be an appropriate name, perhaps given by his or her master. Useful. This slave, however, presented his owner Philemon with a choice. As he stood before him, bearing this letter from Paul. Oh, did I say that? Philemon himself brought the letter. I mean, Onesimus indeed brought the letter to Paul. Can you imagine what was going through Philemon's mind as he sees this slave of his standing before him, who had stolen from him? Anger? Other resentment? And then reading this letter, encouraging him to release all of this. And to shift, like the Apostle Paul shifted in his own thinking from seeing himself as a prisoner of some jailer, some distant place, to being a prisoner instead of Jesus Christ, who came to set free the prisoners. Philemon is faced with some choices. What is he going to do? What do you think he did? What would you do? You know, we don't really have the rest of the story. As with a lot of the information we receive in the New Testament, especially the letters, we only have inklings of the choices that were made following this. Now for Philemon, I keep getting those names messed up. For Philemon, yes, there was the choice of how he was going to respond to Onesimus. How he was going to respond to this letter from Paul. But it wasn't so much actions that are the first step. For Philemon, the first step, like Paul, is shifting how he sees himself and how he sees those around him. Where once it was fairly clear, he was a master, an owner, and Onesimus was a slave. Pretty crystal clear. But the shift, the choice in how you view things, and this precedes any action, is how you see things, not just how you do things. Seeing Onesimus not as a slave, but as a brother. And it involves a choice. All of this morning's scripture verses, if you were listening, involve choices that, yes, lead to actions, but they begin with how you view your world. We heard the cry of Moses to the children of Israel as they stood at the very edge of the promised land. Remember, Moses himself would not enter that promised land. It had taken 40 years for him to guide this peculiar people through the wilderness to this point. And on the edge of the Jordan, Moses said, "Choose this day not only whom you will serve, what you will do, but how you will see your world. Will you see it like everybody else sees it? Or will you see it through the eyes of the promise? Will you see it through the ways of Egypt and slavery and the things that were known once upon a time? Or will you see it as you had been taught through those 40 years to see, through this promise and this covenant on the mountain and the commandments that came out of it? Will you place yourself within the boundary of God's Torah? Will you choose to make that as your way of seeing the world? Or will you choose the ways that eventually lead not to life, but to death?" Moses said, as one who was soon himself to die and not enter the promised land, Moses said, "Choose life." That would seem strange for one about to die to say, "Choose life." But remember the one who has drawn us to this place, who himself chose death upon the cross, knowing that resurrection is the pathway that does, on the way, lead through death. None of us are going to get out of this life without going through that. Well, perhaps if the Lord comes before. But all of us face death. We live in a culture that tries to deny it. But death is not to be feared. Choose not to be afraid. How do you do that? The 139th Psalm is perhaps one of my favorite, most favorite Psalms. I don't know if it is for you. But it describes, it sets forth a view of God that is so vast and so wide that, well, there's no place that we can go to get out of that view of God. For God knows our thoughts even before we think them. God knew us before we were born. No matter where we go, God is there. No matter what we face, God is there, strengthening us, guiding us, providing for us what we need. Were you getting that when you prayed that psalm? It is an awesome, awesome way of viewing the world, choosing to see ourselves through God's eyes. Because that's what that psalm is about. "You saw me even before I was born. You know me better than I know myself." Isn't that a better way of choosing? A better way of seeing? Jeremiah 18. Another favorite. This is a day. These texts came from the lectionary today, and they're just chock full of favorite scriptures. text about the potter's wheel. Don't you like that? You know, as we said, many of us are going through potter's wheel times. But you know, it's a choice to see such experiences in that way. As we're facing into things, we could see it as, oh, this is just random acts of whatever. No meaning whatsoever. But choosing to see God's hand. And choosing to see yourself as clay in those hands. Yes, I don't imagine, you know, the times that I have gone through, potter's wheel times, this does not tickle. Does it? But God uses those times, uses those situations. In all things, the Apostle Paul said, God is working for good. Even through the difficult times, choose to see God's hand when things are going fine, but especially when things are not. Luke 14, counting the cost, a text that emphasizes discipleship as intentional, not as something that just happens to us. We choose to step forth, to follow Jesus, knowing full well where that might lead. I know that that text begins with Jesus says, you know, if you do not hate, yes, that word is hate, father, mother, sister, brother, whatever, even your own life. I don't think Jesus in these words is calling us to a life of hatred, but instead he is calling to a reorientating of our world, a sense of re-perspective to see the world through God's eyes, because only in that way can we step into the risk that faith is. Faith is a risk. Life is a risk. Choose life, Moses said. Wasn't saying choose the comfortable. Choose to risk. Choose life. Count the cost. Because discipleship does have a cost. For Philemon, the cost was losing a slave. But then he had already lost that slave, hadn't he? But think about how much he gained when that slave returned. And I'd like to think he chose to switch from seeing Onesimus as something useful to someone useful to God. So I said, we don't know what happened. We have some inklings. In fact, there is a 2nd century letter from Ignatius of... Where was Ignatius from? Ignatius of Antioch. He was one of the early church fathers. He was writing to the church at Ephesus. And in that letter, he mentions a leader in that church, a bishop, he calls him, an overseer, by the name of Onesimus. Was this the same man? We don't really know, but there's a good possibility he might have been. Someone who chose in prison with Paul to see his life in a whole different way and chose to follow Jesus.